So if you could turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm number 1, please, the very first Psalm, Psalm 1. We'll begin by reading it together, and then we'll just walk through the Psalm and see what it has to say to us this evening. So the very first Psalm, Psalm 1, I'm sure it's a Psalm that's familiar to many. So let's read it together. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The book of Psalms is a much loved book by many Christians. It's a book of 150 songs. And in this book we find so much help and so much encouragement that we can take to heart and we can apply to our lives. As we read through the book of Psalms, there are many different types of psalms that we come across. There are teaching psalms, which give us instruction for our life. There are psalms of supplication, when so often David cries out to God for help in times of trouble. There are psalms all about nature and creation, looking at flowers, mountains, and praising God for his work. There are psalms that contain history, talking about the great things God's done in the past. This evening we're coming to Psalm 1, the very first psalm. And what type of psalm is this? It's a teaching psalm. It gives us instruction for our lives. This first psalm is like a gateway to the book of Psalms. It speaks about the whole of mankind. It speaks about the way that we live. And it tells us there are only two ways of living. Only two. And these both lead to two destinations. Only two destinations. Have a look at verse 1. What's the first word in the whole psalm? The first word? Blessed or blessed. Yep, blessed. And what's the last word in the whole psalm?
Perish.
So this psalm, it begins and ends with these two almost bookends. Every person on this earth is either blessed or they'll perish. This psalm, it speaks of the whole of mankind and it summarizes these two positions. And in this psalm, it gives us two very clear pictures as well of these two positions to show what they're like. And they're easy pictures. They're pictures we can all imagine easily. So firstly, think of a tree. Can you do that? It's simple, isn't it? A tree. Now, think of chaff or leftover husks of seeds that have blown away in the wind. Again, another easy picture to imagine. They are the two pictures that this psalm presents of these two ways of life, these two ways of living. The tree, on one hand, is healthy. The tree is alive. The tree is growing. The tree is bearing fruit. The tree has a purpose. The chaff, on the other hand, that's the opposite. It's useless. It's the leftovers. It's dead. It's discarded. And it's got no purpose at all. We're just going to spend our time this evening walking through the psalm and just seeing a few simple things about these two positions and these two pictures which the psalmist uses to illustrate them. So firstly, that first word again, let's look at that, blessed or blessed. And it literally means joyful, someone who's joyful because they're under God's blessing. Someone who has God's favour and lives a joyful life. Now, a lot of people today often think you can only feel one emotion at a time. You're either happy or you're sad. You're either joyful or you're mourning, maybe. But this psalm tells us of a person who's blessed. They're joyful in their whole life. Whether they're going through sorrow, whether they're going through bereavement, we can feel more than one emotion at the same time. That's what the Bible teaches, and joy is the root of that for Christians. What makes a person truly joyful in this life? We have the answer here in verse 1, don't we? Firstly, the beginning of verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the ungodly is literally that, people who are ungodly, people for whom God has no place in their life at all. They wake up. They don't think of God. They live their lives. They don't think of God. They eat their food. They don't thank God for it. They go to work. They don't acknowledge the skills that God gives them. God doesn't feature in their lives. They're ungodly. The first secret of being truly joyful and blessed is not to walk with such people or take advice from them, not to counsel, not to walk in the counsel of them. Once you've walked in the counsel of the ungodly, it's so easy to then go further, isn't it? The next line, nor stands in the path of sinners, doing the things that sinners do, standing with them and becoming one with them, going to the sinful places they go, talking about the sinful things that they talk about, doing the sinful things that they do. So the second secret to living a truly joyful and blessed life is not to stand in the path of sinners and join with them. And if you've walked in the counsel of the ungodly and then stood in the path of sinners, once again, it's so easy to go even further, isn't it? And then sit in the seat of the scornful. People who speak badly of Christianity and of God, people who often think following God is worthless, is meaningless, is foolish. They pour scorn on it openly. So the third secret here to living a truly joyful and blessed life is not to sit with those people. Not to sit in the seat of the scornful and be part of them and scorn God yourself or the gospel or those who follow Christ. So the opening of this psalm, it shows us the blessed person, a joyful person. Someone who, even though hardships may happen through life, deep down, they're joyful through pain, through trials, temptations. This person is blessed and they're joyful because they avoid these things. They avoid the ungodly, the sinful, the scorners. Verse 2, it goes even further. It describes not what this blessed person does not do, but what they do. So what does the blessed and the joyful person do? Well, firstly, they delight in the law of God. Verse 2. They delight in it. I wonder what you delight in. At home, if I went into the kitchen and I told Jane that there's a tiramisu in the cupboard, I'm sure it wouldn't be there for long. Something that Jane delights in is tiramisu. I'm sure you have something you delight in. And if you delight in something, you enjoy it. You'd gravitate towards it. It's not a duty for Jane to eat tiramisu. It's not a burden for Jane to eat tiramisu. It's a joy. It's a delight. The blessed and the joyful person in this psalm, it says, they delight in the law of the Lord. And further than that, in his law, they meditate day and night. Now, what does it mean to meditate on God's word? To borrow an illustration I heard once from Stuart Olliott, to meditate on God's word, he said, think of a cow. a cow in a field. And it spends all its time wandering around the field, grazing on the grass. And it just wanders and it eats, it wanders and it eats, and it eats and it grazes. And it takes in as much grass as it can. And then it goes and it sits down. And a little while later, it regurgitates that grass and it chews it again. And it chews it and it chews it. And it almost eats it a second time and then swallows it. Meditating on God's word is similar. We listen to God's word, we read God's word, we take it in once. And then later on, we don't just forget it, we bring it back up, as it were. We think about it, we mull it over in our minds, we remember it, and we try to apply it to our lives. Now notice here in verse 2, it doesn't say, in his law, he reads day and night. It doesn't say that the blessed person reads God's word day and night. Now, many people in the world can't read. Many people don't have the Bible in their own language, or maybe don't even have their own personal copy of the Bible. In fact, it's only fairly recently in history that Christians have owned their own copy of the Bible. Bible reading is important, yes. Please do read your Bible if you have your own copy, which I'm sure we all do and we're fortunate enough to. But more importantly is meditating on God's law that you've heard preached. So imagine, here's two people. First person, they attend church twice on a Sunday. They attend every Wednesday. Three times a week they hear God's word preached. And it's preached faithfully. He goes away every day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, day and night. He has his quiet time. He spends 15 minutes reading his portion of the Bible for that day on his own. But he never really thinks about what it has to do with him or how he can apply it. He's a bit too busy for that. But he reads it every day. This person, he attends church twice on a Sunday, every Wednesday, three times, hears God's word faithfully preached. But maybe he can't read very well or doesn't have his own copy of the Bible at home. But day and night, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this person thinks about what's being preached, thinks about what they've heard on Sunday and on Wednesday, meditates on the words of God, thinks about how can that be applied to my life? What areas of my life would I need to change based on what I heard? He talks to God, he prays through the things he's heard. Which person is more likely to grow in their spiritual life? I'm confident it would most likely be the person who meditates on God's word and really thinks it through. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to read the Bible, definitely not. But meditating on God's law it's a command found so many times throughout the book of Psalms. Meditating on God's law, thinking it through, listening to what you've heard preached, reading it maybe, and then applying it to your lives. We can so easily, can't we, just walk out those doors and think, oh, what's for lunch this Sunday? Or what have I got on tomorrow at work? And we never bring back up what we've heard. So this is the description of this blessed or this joyful person that we find in the first part of Psalm 1. And then it goes on to give an illustration or a picture of what this person is like who lives the blessed life. Starting at verse 3, it says, they're like a tree. Now, shortly after Jane and I got married, 4 years ago, we went to Wales. And if you've ever been to Wales, you'll know it's full of one thing. That's sheep. But that's not the picture here tonight. That's for another night. But round this part of the lake that we walked around, this lake, all around the edge, it was full of trees all around the water's edge. And they were healthy trees. They were trees that had all the water that they needed to flourish. They produced fruit, and I don't imagine they ever withered very much because their roots were literally hanging into the water and going underneath the bed of the lake at the bottom. And that's the picture we have here in verse 3, that this blessed person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And therefore they bring forth their fruit in its season, and their leaf shall not wither. Their roots are in the right place. This person is constantly meditating upon God's word, taking everything he can from it, and living his life completely by it. He brings forth fruit. All the fruit of the Spirit is seen strongly in this person. And his leaf shall not wither. He'll stand strong in the day of trials and in temptation. And whatever he does shall prosper. The work that God's given him to do, he'll do without fail. Now, so far, it seems a bit hard, doesn't it? When you first read this psalm, you can think, oh, that's a tall order for me to try and reach. I just can't do that. Maybe I can not stand in the path of sinners sometimes, but I fail. I don't always meditate on God's law. And we so often think that's not me. And that's right, isn't it? It's not us. Who has ever lived a life never walking with the ungodly? Who has ever lived a life never standing in the seat of sinners, standing in the path of sinners, sorry, or sitting in the seat of the scornful? Who has always delighted in God's law and always meditated on it day and night? And who's the only person who's ever been able to live like this? I'm sure that life sounds familiar. Only one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful picture we see here in this psalm of Jesus, of Christ, our Saviour, the only person who has done all of this faultlessly and completely and sinlessly. He's lived that perfect life that we just can't live. He's lived that joyful life that we can't live. I know when I read verse 1, 2 and 3, I'm that ungodly person and that sinner and the scornful so often. So often I don't delight in God's law and meditate on it day and night. And that way of life is further described in verse 4. This is the second way of life, the ungodly. So in verse 4 and 5 we read about the chaff, the ungodly people, who they can't stand under God's law and righteous judgment. They can't stand in the congregation of the righteous. This picture shows our natural way of life. And in verse 4 and 5, it's described as the chaff. That second picture, the second illustration. We've got the tree and we've got the chaff. Now imagine you're walking through a field. There's lots of fields around here. I'm sure you've seen this picture of a combine harvester in the autumn. And it's going through the field. And the sun's setting just behind it. And all around this combine harvester, there's a cloud of what looks like dust or smoke. As the combine harvester's going along the field and gathering in the crops and harvesting the wheat, all the leftover husks and little bits are just blown into the air. Doesn't need to collect them. They're chaff. They're not what the farmer needs. They're meaningless. They're useless. That's you and that's me. We're like the chaff. We're the people this psalm describes in verse 4 and 5. So what should happen to us? In verse 6, the very last line, it tells us, the way of the ungodly shall perish. But I said before, what a beautiful picture of Jesus and of the gospel this psalm is. And it's a great picture of Christ, the only man who was truly blessed and has ever lived in that way. Jesus is this tree. He's this picture of this tree. And we are the picture of this chaff. We're the ones who are dead. We're the ones who the wind will blow us away. We won't stand when we're judged, and we won't stand in the congregation of the righteous if it wasn't for Christ. And he is that one, isn't he, who lived the perfect life. And more than him living the perfect life, he's transferred that perfect account onto us. So Jesus' perfect life in this hand, my sinful life is in this hand. On the cross, We remember when Jesus died, his perfect life, that was put on my account. When God looks at me on Judgment Day, when God looks at you on Judgment Day, if you're a believer as well, he'll see not my sin, not the filthy rags that I produce, but Christ's righteousness and Christ's perfection. And we can thank God, can't we, for his gospel, for this perfect picture in the Psalms of our salvation. Years and years before Christ himself came, he's so clearly seen in this psalm. We can thank God that the wonder of this is that Jesus has transferred that perfect life onto our account. And more than that, day by day, even though we don't reach that standard, we're not ones who naturally walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or naturally don't stand in the path of sinners, or don't sit in the seat of the scornful. We are being changed. And that God, through his Holy Spirit, does change us. And he's making us more and more and more like the one who's pictured here as the tree. More and more we can become a shadow of that man who never walked in the counsel of the ungodly and never stood in the path of sinners and didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. The one who always delighted in the law and always meditated in it day and night. So how much we can be thankful to God for such a saviour as this. Such a saviour who delights to make us more like this through his Spirit. And we need to pray, don't we, for ourselves, for each other, that we become more like this, that we become more like Christ, who is our Saviour.